Welcome back, everybody. One of my favorite songs of all time in the history of any music. God, I love that song. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah, man. And that, of course, is Todd Rundgren. And Lou requested that hello, it's me. We've talked about this before. Perfect song. That's one of those songs that falls into that category without question. It is a perfect song. There's nothing wrong with that song at all. All right, you want to get your 2 for Tuesday requests in? It's 312-981-7200. Now, any of you guys watch the Bob Newhart show? Did you ever watch it? Dan, you ever watch Bob Newhart?
I think I saw a couple episodes.
No, I mean the original one, not Newhart where they own the inn.
Right. I think I caught a couple episodes here on a MeTV here and there, but nothing consistently.
Esmeralda, did you ever watch Bob Newhart?
Not the one you're talking about.
But you did watch the
I watched on and
Larry,
off.
Daryl, and Daryl. Yeah. That's a great show, too, because Bob Newhart is the king. Bob Newhart rules. And I loved following him on social media when the Cubs were on that stretch in the postseason going to the World Series. there was my favorite picture was when he made Don Rickles hold a Cubs flag in a restaurant after they won one of the playoff games. Rickles isn't even from Chicago. He's best friends with Don Rickles and Bob Newhart are best friends. They've been best friends for like 50 years. And so they're out to dinner one night and the Cubs win, so he makes Rickles hold up a Cubs flag. So, the MeTV show, as Dan had mentioned, MeTV shows reruns of the Bob Newhart show, and I've been watching them. I hadn't watched it in a long time. I used to watch it in the 70s when it was on, and then a little bit here and there in reruns and stuff. It's a great show, but I've just started watching it again, like going back and looking at some of the episodes. And that show is so funny. That show is brilliantly written. The characters are very memorable. The great Marsha Wallace is on it. Who, Esmeralda, you would know Marsha Wallace. Oh, she's doing some work in the traffic hut. Marsha Wallace was on it, and Peter Bonaires was on it, Bill Daly, and of course, Bob Newhart played a Chicago psychiatrist who did, like therapy and group therapy, and some of the characters that are in the group therapy sessions on Bob Newhart are some of the funniest characters ever are the people when he does group therapy episodes. Absolutely hilarious. And Marsha Wallace, as I was mentioning, Esmeralda, Marsha Wallace is on Bob Newhart.
Mrs. Krabappel.
Yes, that's right, Mrs. Krabappel. She's great on it, and it's great all the way around. But I got to say, the person that stands out for me, and this is a show that is top-notch writing, top-notch acting, and, among standouts, Suzanne Pleshette was unbelievable on that show. Just unbelievable. And she died in 2008, which is so sad. She was, first of all, she was incredibly attractive. And again, that goes with, I think, a recurring theme that's going to happen when we're talking about this stuff, is like ugly or fat guy has hot wife. That's like a thing. That's like a thing on all the shows. And it all started with The Honeymooners, which is my favorite show ever. My favorite comedy of all time is The Honeymooners. But that's like fat guy with hot wife, who's also much smarter than the guy. That's another trope that goes along with that. But anyway, Suzanne Pleshette was so great and so witty and so sharp on that show. Like every line delivery was precise. It's just a joy to watch that woman work in these reruns, man. She's so great. And I don't know, Dean, can you look up if she ever got an Emmy? Could you look that up, if Suzanne Pleshette ever got an Emmy? And you guys remember the final episode of The Newhart Show. You guys remember that with the big classic final episode of The Newhart Show from the inn?
When they're in bed?
Yeah, Bob wakes up, and the whole thing has been a dream, and he's in bed with Suzanne Pleshette in their old apartment in Chicago. And the whole I think Newhart lasted, that Newhart show probably lasted about six seasons. So it was six seasons, and at the very end he wakes up. Boy, I had this weird dream. I was remarried and I was running an inn, and Suzanne Pleshette, he wakes up, Suzanne Pleshette is in bed next to him. That was one of the greatest series finales of all time. Like such a huge surprise. And this was in the days when, spoilers didn't occur and stuff like that didn't happen on TV. And so the whole thing ended up being a dream, and Suzanne Pleshette was in bed next to him. I remember watching that episode just going, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. But anyway, so this got me to thinking, watching how amazing and awesome Suzanne Pleshette is on that show. We're talking about the best sort of sitcom wives and best couples on TV.
It seems like she's been nominated a bunch but never won.
She never won. Oh, that's a damn shame. Well, all right. So the first one that comes to mind for me outside of Suzanne Pleshette, who inspired this whole topic that I want to talk about, without question, Jean Stapleton, All in the Family, Edith Bunker, one of the greatest characters in the history of sitcoms, one of the greatest wives ever on television, and one of the best performances that anybody has ever given. I've told this story before, Esmeralda. You know, that's the first time I ever, when I was a little kid, and you know the All in the Family started like in 1971, so I would have been like six or seven,
mm-hmm.
and I remember watching TV. And she was on the Mike Douglas show, Jean Stapleton. And she opened up her mouth and started talking, and she didn't sound like Edith. She had like a normal voice. And I remember my little mind was blown. I was like, oh, she's acting. Because Jean Stapleton is so utterly different than Edith Bunker in her demeanor and everything, and voice and everything. When I was a little kid, that was when I was like, oh, that's what acting is. That's what this woman, she's an actor. She's pretending to be Edith. So, anyway. All right, well, let's jump to the news here after we take a break, and then we'll come back. Phone lines are starting to fill up if you want to jump in. Text as well, 312-981-7200. Greatest, most memorable sitcom wives and great couples on TV. And we'll go through that right after this. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know. Yeah. That's fantastic. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah. Mike requested Jimmy Buffett. It's Margaritaville. Dan, didn't you go to a Jimmy Buffett concert?
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't pay for it. I just went.
Okay. I'm glad that you specified that you didn't pay for it. Did you know that Jimmy Buffett has opened a retirement center?
I did see that.
Yeah. Oh, man. That should be fun. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Call us or text us. We're talking about best TV couples and best wives and sitcoms and stuff like that. 312-981-7200. This topic with you guys to reminisce and have some fun talking about it. But it was all inspired by me watching reruns of Bob Newhart and realizing once again how brilliant Suzanne Pleshette is. And she's been nominated for Emmys. She never won. And that got me to thinking about that topic. 312-981-7200. Here's Paxton on WGN. Hi, Paxton.
Nick, good morning.
Morning.
I'm with you on Pleshette. I loved her since The Birds.
Yeah.
When she was the foil to Tippi Hedren, to Rod Taylor's love interest.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And in an interview once about that movie, she said she was the only one that stood up to Hitchcock's gross advances.
Yeah, Hitchcock was gross. he was not very kind to women at all, and became obsessed with most of his leading ladies.
Yeah, so. And I'm pretty sure Suzanne is the mother of the girl on Northern Exposure.
In real life?
Yeah, in real life. Yeah, I can't think of her name, but boy, you can certainly see the resemblance. And I'm not for certain on that, but a couple of people have told me that.
I was not a Northern Exposure watcher.
Oh, she was the young girl that
was she a kid on the show?
No. She was a young adult. Yeah, if you don't know, you know, she was the gal that was a love interest.
Is it Jeanine Turner? You talking about Jeanine Turner?
Yeah.
No, she can't be. Suzanne Pleshette was too young to have a daughter of that age, I think.
No. I mean, Janet Turner is...
Yeah, Jeanine Turner. By the way, you know who Jeanine Turner dated, Dan?
No.
Dan, you know who he dated?
No.
Mark Grace.
I can see that.
That was Mark Grace's girl. That was Mark Grace's girlfriend. They dated for like 3 years. She was at Wrigley all the time.
Oh, yeah. I always loved her, too.
Yeah. Okay, Paxton, thanks, man.
All right,
take care. Yeah. I don't think that Jeanine Turner was Suzanne Pleshette's daughter.
Wiki does not list a familiar relationship.
Yeah, I just don't think. Because, you know, Jeanine Turner, when she was on that show, she was like in her 30s when she was on that show, Jeanine Turner. And Suzanne Pleshette was, I think, probably born in like, I want to say Suzanne Pleshette was probably born in like 37 or 38.
37.
Whoa. Wow. I know my Pleshette. All right. 312-981-7200. Keith, we had a bunch of texts coming in. 312-981-7200. Keith in Kansas says, I love the Bob Newhart show so much that I own it on DVD. Yeah, it really is a good show, man. I mean, it's just, if you've not gone back to watch it, MeTV shows, and I know it's available on DVD, but it really is an unbelievably funny and smart and well-written show. 847 area code says, a good wife that comes to mind is Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days. I love your show. Well, thank you. Yeah, Marion from Happy Days, played by Marion Ross. You guys remember that? You ever watch the bloopers? Sometimes they would show the Happy Days bloopers where they're trying to do a take. And I think, I'm pretty sure Tom Bosley and Ron Howard. And who played Joni? Why am I blanking on her name? Aaron something. They were all there, and they're doing the scene.
Aaron Moran,
right. And they're all there, and they're doing the scene. I don't know if people remember this, if this crazy little blooper. So Henry Winkler and Marion Ross decide that they're going to start making out, like right during the scene. So it's Fonzie and Mrs. C making out. And nobody really notices it. They start flirting with each other and touching each other. Next thing you know, they're making out. And then finally, you know, the crew starts breaking. Everybody on stage is like, what's going on? The crowd was going nuts. So that's one of my favorite old bloopers. Yeah. Hey, do you guys remember the bloopers and practical joke show with Dick Clark and Ed McMahon? You remember that show, Esmeralda?
They always had celebrities, right?
Yeah, they would do a celebrity prank. Like, they would prank a celebrity. Practical joke. They would do a practical joke on a celebrity, but then the rest of the show would be bloopers from different shows. And, like, somebody from the show would come out, you know, like, oh, I'm Henry Winkler, and I've got bloopers from Happy Days. All right, let's watch those. And then Dick Clark would slap his knee laughing. And Ed McMahon would go, ho, 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 where's Johnny? So, but that show was, we used to watch that. I used to watch that show all the time. That's the original Punked, man. That's the original Punked. That's exactly what the setup was. They would set these celebrities up and punk them, and then Ashton Kutcher just made it more extreme. That's another show I watched religiously on MTV. Best one, Esmeralda. I'm sure you've watched Punked.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, best one. What do you have a favorite?
The only one I can think of is it was Topher Grace. And don't they mess up his car, or they pretend to mess up his car, and then he yells at this little kid?
It's Zach Braff.
Oh, is it Zach?
It's Zach Braff, and that's the first one that came into my mind because he went nuts on this kid. And I think Topher, but they did Topher Grace. They did everybody on that 70s show. He punked everybody on that show. But that one, Zach Braff, they had a car that looked exactly like his. And a whole bunch of kids come out with spray paint. They were in a liquor store buying booze. And it was Zach Braff and whoever the accomplice was. I can't remember. Oh, no, it was Donald Faison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Donald Faison who set him up. So they come out, and the little kid is spray painting. They catch the little kid. And I thought Zach Braff was going to kill this kid. I swear to God, I thought he was going to kill him.
I remember him being real mad about
it.
Oh,
my God.
Calm down, Zach
He's
Braff.
Like screaming, "You get, you're lying!" Like when the cops show up. And I just, that's my, that, I mean, the Punked was enormously entertaining.
Yeah, it was that one and the Justin Timberlake one.
Justin Timberlake, where they repossess all his stuff.
Right.
And he calls his mom crying. Fantastic! Do you remember the SNL when they did a Punked and Justin Timberlake was doing Ashton Kutcher? It was the first time that that Justin Timberlake hosted SNL. First time he ever hosted SNL, they did a Punked sketch. And he was Ashton Kutcher. And he was doing Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, this is awesome. It's going to be awesome. And they punk 50 Cent. And so it's like, it's Tracy Morgan as 50 Cent. And a guy dressed up like Dracula comes out of the bathroom and goes, I'm a Dracula. And 50 Cent shoots him 6 times in the chest and kills him.
Oh, no.
And then, like, He jumps into the camera. Justin Timberlake dressed up like Ashton Kutcher with the trucker hat on and everything. He jumps in and goes, "Yeah, that was awesome. You killed him. You didn't know the Dracula. You thought it was a real guy and you killed him. Man, that's awesome." And then he's like, "Man, I'm awesome. I'm awesome. This show is awesome. Punk is awesome. I love Justin Timberlake." And then he runs out. So he, as Ashton Kutcher, says he loves Justin Timberlake. Yeah, but the first one that popped into my head was the Zach Braff. That was the very first one. I remember when they tried to punk Ashton Kutcher, and they failed miserably. He caught on right away.
Who was it?
Oh, man, I can't remember. I think Dax Shepard was part of it, because Dax was on the, he was a player on that show. Now he's married to Kristen Bell, for God's sake, and directing movies. Guy started out on Punked. But yeah, they tried to, he knew it right away. And he just was not having it. And they tried to punk him twice, I think. And they never were able to get him. Of course, if you did that show, I always liked it when people, when like the celebrities are like, "Oh yeah, this is Punked. I'm being punked right now." How about, do you remember when they did Wee Man and Preston Lacey?
No.
Wee Man and Preston Lacey, you know who they are, right? From Jackass?
Yeah.
So the big fat guy and the little guy, Wee Man. Well, they're trying to get in. I can't remember exactly what they did. They were trying to get into a building, and they had to go through the metal detector a bunch of times or something like that. And they had to take their pants off. I don't know. I can't remember, but it was pretty funny. That show was funny. That was a funny show. But you can thank Ed McMahon and Dick Clark, because that's the original Punked. But on that show, they're like Punk and Barbara Mandrell and stuff. You know, I mean, it's a different group of people that get the practical jokes pulled on them on the Dick Clark Ed McMahon thing. It's like, yeah, it's John Boy from the Waltons. Let's punk him. You know, that's the kind of level that the nursing. All right, we got a break. Oh, who they punked one time? Not punked. Now I'm getting it confused. Who they did the practical joke on? Dick Clark and. They did Jerry Lewis one time.
Oh, boy.
And Jerry Lewis was not happy. He was not happy. Because Jerry Lewis is a lunatic. He's nuts. You don't punk Jerry Lewis, man. Not without consequences. All right. Hey, we got a break. We got weather and traffic. We'll come back. I got a ton more texts here, and we're talking about the best memorable wives on television and couples and stuff like that. Cheeseburger in paradise. Yeah. I have no idea why, but I went to Jimmy Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise in Michigan once. I have no idea why. I'm trying to figure out. Heather and I went. I don't know. I have no idea why we went there. I can't stand Jimmy Buffett. I like cheeseburgers, but I don't know. I have no idea why we went. You know what? It was a good burger. I'll tell you that. Just trying to figure out why would we go there. Heather hated Jimmy Buffett, too. Oh, maybe it was because of Heather's mom. Because Heather's mom was with us. I think she wanted to go. Thinks that's what it was. So, hey, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, man. Two of them for Tuesday. Two. Mike requested some Jimmy Buffett. That's Cheeseburger in Paradise. Oh, man. All right. Hey, you guys remember Planet Hollywood? Remember how much fun Planet Hollywood was? Esmeralda, did you ever go to Planet Hollywood ever?
I think I did.
The one here?
I can't remember if it was a planet in San Francisco. Did
oh,
they
San
have
Francisco.
One there?
Yeah, well, they did, I think. Yeah,
it was either that or a Hard Rock. I can't remember.
Okay. The
because they both have stuff.
Yeah, one is music stuff, one is movie stuff.
Okay.
Hanging on the walls.
Who's got the movie stuff?
Planet Hollywood.
Okay, so then yeah, is a Planet Hollywood.
I dated a girl that worked at the girl from Grand Haven who looked like Terry Hatcher. She was a waitress at when I dated her. She was a waitress at Planet Hollywood, right over down here. And I used to hang out there all the time. I would do, like, she would be working, and I would just sit at the bar and drink for free. And my favorite thing ever in that place was there was a table, and it was my favorite table in Planet Hollywood. Because, you know, everybody has a favorite table in Planet Hollywood. Anyway, it was the table, because I'm a big movie freak, so I did walk around the place a few times and look at the memorabilia that they had. You know, like you walk in, they had the giant Terminator. They had the one of the first things that you would see would be Arnold, like half robot, half dude. That would be like one of the first things that you would see. They had a bunch of stuff, obviously, from Stallone and Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger, because they were all, like in the business together. So anyway, My favorite piece of memorabilia that they had hanging on the wall while you're eating dinner, like you go there, you know, have a burger or something, and you can sit at the table that right in at eye level hanging on the wall is the chopped off ear from Blue Velvet. Just like in all its bloody, disgusting glory. And it's just, that was my favorite thing in the entire Planet Hollywood. Why would you put that up in a place where you're trying to eat? You bring in a bunch of kids to go to Planet Hollywood, you know, and have a hot dog or something, look on the wall, and there's a chopped off ear hanging up on the wall. That was definitely my favorite part of the Planet Hollywood. So, all right, a bunch of texts coming in here. Rod says, Al and Peg Bundy. Peg Bundy, man. You gotta love Peg Bundy. She was awesome. Very funny. Very, very funny. She's on Superior Donuts now, Katie Sagal. Which is actually a pretty good show, I gotta say. I'm enjoying it. 815 area code says, Nick, it's so funny. I was watching the same Bob Newhart episode you're talking about, and I thought how awesome Suzanne Pleshette was. That was this past Sunday night. Because when it was over, I threw up on my Facebook page how much I love Suzanne Pleshette. It was an episode where he had group therapy, and he was screwing up the group therapy, so he brought the goofballs home and wanted Suzanne Pleshette to be a part of the group therapy so that it could have a female point of view. And he made her very mad, and it was very funny. And 815 also says, I'd like to mention Ted Baxter's wife, Georgette, from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Georgette was funny. That's another great show. Steve, on Curb Your Enthusiasm, oh my God, Jeff Garland's wife, Susie, she can drop more hilarious F-bombs in a segment than any wife in sitcom history. Susie Essman is genius on that show. I could watch her screaming at Larry David for 5 hours straight. It's one of the best things about Curb Your Enthusiasm is when Susie Essman goes off on Larry David and just drops F-bombs and screams at him. Do you guys, Dan, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I've never seen more than an episode here and there.
It's coming back, though. It's coming back in April, and I couldn't be more excited. Esmeralda, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Susie Essman. When she starts ripping into Larry David, that's gold. That's comedy gold.
When I was working with Jonathan Brandmeier, had her on.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and I remember her telling us, she would say that people would come up to her on the street and just want to be yelled at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a common story that she told on talk shows because I remember her telling that story on Letterman. She was on Letterman and talking about how people just want her to swear at them.
Yeah, they just want to get yelled at and just like, oh. Hmm.
I'll tell you, I would love to be yelled at by Susie Essman. I would love to have a bunch of F-bombs thrown in my face by Susie Essman. That would be fantastic. Mike from Worth says, Heart to Heart's Stephanie Powers. Yeah, she's quite the wife. 319 area code, Tim Taylor and Jill Taylor from Home Improvement. And what was the actress's name who played the wife on Home Improvement? Why am I blanking on her name? I can't remember. Patricia Richardson. Is that right? Patricia Richardson, yeah. 773 area code, Samantha Stevens from Bewitched was a good wife.
Yes.
I was not happy when they switched Darren's. Not cool. Not cool at all, man. Dick York is the real Darren. Dick Sargent, no.
I'm sorry, but I just never understood why she didn't want to use her witch powers.
She wanted to be a normal housewife and mother.
Accept what you are. Just accept it.
First of all, that show rules. Second of all, Dr. Bombay is one of the greatest characters in the history of television. Dr. Bombay destroyed me.
You know I'm in it.
You're in Bewitched?
Her cousin, Esmeralda.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I was not named after her.
Oh, Esmeralda's her mother.
No, it's her cousin or her.
Oh, Endora is her mother. Endora is her mother. Esmeralda, yeah, Esmeralda. Well, of course they're gonna have a witch named Esmeralda. That's a common name for witches, isn't it, Esmeralda?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm not a witch.
I just think that. When I think Esmeralda, I think Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right. She was a gypsy.
Well, now I think of you.
Oh, good.
Now that I know you, but before I met you, if I ever heard the name Esmeralda, I would immediately think Hunchback of Notre Dame.
She was a gypsy.
Yeah, she was, and she was a lovely character.
They thought she was a witch.
They thought she was a witch, that's right.
But she isn't.
But she isn't. She's just a gypsy. Dick York is the real Darren. Dick Sargent, no. I don't accept Dick Sargent. I will never accept Dick Sargent as my Darren.
Is he the blonde one?
No, they were both had brown hair.
Did they? No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Yeah, look up Dick York and look up Dick Sargent. We got a break. While you're doing that important research, we'll take a break. The news is coming up next. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. David requested some Moody Blues. That is Have You Heard on our two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 for your requests and talk and text. Hey, it's Nick DiCilio here. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. Here till 5 as we are every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran. Birthday boy Steve Cochran turns 86 today. He's at 6 o'clock. Phone number is 312-981-7200. We're talking about our favorite wives in TV and couples in TV, inspired by my rediscovery that Suzanne Pleshette was one of the greatest performers in sitcom history and was the MVP of the Bob Newhart Show, as far as I'm concerned. So we got a bunch of texts coming in, 312-981-7200, and some other stuff, and we'll take your phone calls as well. Okay. All right. We mentioned Peg Bundy was mentioned. How about Lois on Malcolm in the Middle? She's fantastic. And Bryan Cranston, before he became all like serious actor man Johnson, running around in his tidy whiteies in every episode. So, Esmeralda, I know that, I don't know if you heard Eric's review of The Disaster Artist.
Yeah, he loved it.
He absolutely loved it. And it's getting an enormous amount of praise after its South by Southwest screening Sunday night. And also Oscar buzz. They're already talking about the fact that James Franco might get nominated for an Oscar for it and that the movie is amazing.
Seriously.
Yeah. Now, Bryan Cranston is in the movie as Bryan Cranston from his Malcolm in the Middle days. So maybe we'll get to see Bryan Cranston in The Disaster Artist in his tidy whiteies. Oh, boy. Yeah, so The Disaster Artist getting incredible word of mouth, and everybody at that screening just went nuts over it. And this movie is about the making of the real movie, The Room, which is considered by many to be the worst movie ever made. And the guy who directed The Room wrote it, stars in it, is a guy named Tommy Wiseau, and James Franco plays him. And apparently he was method the whole time, and he kind of never broke kind of never broke character. So he's walking around acting like Tommy Wiseau all the time. So, yeah, but Lois on Malcolm in the Middle, I loved her. I thought she was great. Now, what about Marge Simpson? She's awesome. One of the best wives in TV history. She always had to put up with Homer. But that's the other thing about like wives in sitcom. They always have to put up with things. That's like part of the situational comedy thing. Is that they have to put up, the wives have to put up because they married idiots. You know? Yeah, I married an idiot and I'm going to have to put up with it now.
Also with Marge, wasn't she taught to just shove it down?
Yes.
Until it just becomes a tight little ball of frustration.
Yeah. One of my favorite episodes ever, Esmeralda, is Marge's Fear of Flying.
Is that the one where her hair's falling out, too, or is that a different one?
That's a different one.
Okay.
The Fear of Flying one, well, the Fear of Flying one, first of all, has one of the greatest opening scenes. Do you know how, like, the Simpsons, especially at its height, the Simpsons would start out in one direction, and then the plot would kick in, and everything would change? Like, like the first couple of scenes or first two or three scenes in a typical episode of The Simpsons had absolutely nothing to do with what eventually turns out to be the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
So the opening of the Marge Fear of Flying episode, which is my second favorite episode in Simpsons history, the first being the one that Dan and I completely disagree on, which is Homer's enemy, Frank Grimes, my favorite Simpsons episode ever. But Second favorite is Marge's Fear of Flying, and that's the one that opens up with Homer is in Moe's, and all the regulars are there, and they're all sort of playing practical jokes on Moe. Like, they put a cobra in the cash register drawer, and it bit him. And he's like, oh, no, I better pour myself some coffee. And then they go to light a he goes to light a cigarette, and they set his shirt on fire. They set Moe's shirt on fire. Oh, no, you took advantage of my alcohol-soaked clothes. And he's all burnt up, so a cobra bites him and everything. And then Homer unscrews the top of a sugar container. And when, you know, this is after that he's been, everybody's laughing at the fact that he's been attacked by a cobra and that, like, they set him on fire. And so Homer goes, this is going to be great. And he unscrews the top, loosens the top of a sugar container. And Homer or Moe pours himself a cup of coffee, tries to pour sugar in it, it pours all over the bar. And then everybody's like, oh, and they start getting mad at Homer. Now, sometimes you take a joke too far, Homer. This is after he's been bitten by a cobra, most bitten by a cobra and set on fire. So Moe goes, how many people think Homer should be banned from the bar? And they're all voting. And he's like, not only am I going to take your portrait down from Mount Lushmore, and they take a portrait of him down. It's like, it looks like a New Yorker cartoon portrait of him with a monocle from Mount Lushmore. So they take the portrait of him down, and I'm taking your favorite song out of the jukebox. And Homer goes, it's raining men. And he goes, not anymore. And he whips the 45 out the window, and it hits Smithers in the head as he's driving down the street. He goes, ah. And then he looks down and sees the name of the song, and he goes, mmm. So then Homer has to find a new bar to hang out at because he gets banned from Moe's. So he goes to Cheers. And the guys, they all did the voices, except oddly enough, Kelsey Grammer did not do a voice. even though Frasier is in the scene, Kelsey Grammer does not do a voice. But everybody else did. George went, Dan Danson, and he goes and he gets scared because they won't serve Norm another drink, so he breaks a bottle and says he's going to kill people. And he's like, I got to get out of here, and he runs out of Cheers. He ends up going to a lesbian bar. And then the last bar that he ends up at is a bar where pilots hang out. And so he pretends to be a pilot to get in so he can drink. So he's pretending to be a pilot. So someone comes in and says, we need an emergency pilot for this flight to Chicago. And they grab Homer and they put him on the plane. And then he presses the button and the landing gear breaks. And then the plane slams down. And they end up getting a free plane trip because it was their mistake, but by putting Homer in the cockpit. So they get a free plane trip anywhere. So the family gets on the plane, and that's when Marge freaks out. And she starts going, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. And she's running up and down the thing. And then that's when the show becomes about Marge's fear of flying. So this whole first setup with this is like 5 minutes, over 5 minutes of Homer getting kicked out of the bar and going to the bar. It has nothing to do with what the rest of the plot is. And that episode is brilliant, but it is a brilliant episode. So I don't know if you can see. You remember that one, Esmeralda?
I remember her being afraid of flying, but I don't remember that whole beginning.
That's when that's the whole beginning, is just Homer trying to find a new place to get drunk. But the best is, Anne Bancroft, by the way, was the voice of the psychiatrist, which was amazing. But Homer is so unbelievably hilarious in that episode, just like so ridiculously hilarious in it. And that's when they flash back, Esmeralda. And she's like, she's a little girl, and that's when, you know, when they flash back to Marge as a little girl, her hair is a little shorter,
mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, she's got her voice is exactly the same except a little higher. Well, she's in a toy plane when she's a little kid. They have a flashback. She's in a toy plane, and like it sets on fire and blows up, and that's when she suddenly realized she's afraid of flying.
But it was also like her dad was a pilot.
Right, exactly. That's all. That all comes out at the end. At the very, very end, the rest of it is all about how Homer is paranoid that they're talking about him at the sessions and saying that it's all his fault that she screwed up. And then he's like, you know what? Well, let's rent some movies. It'll make your mother feel better. I've got some very uplifting titles here. Here's Hero, and that's a movie that involves a plane crash. Here's Alive, that's a movie that involves a plane crash. And Fearless.
So
they show Marge watching alive, and it's like, it's a good thing we're alive. Can you pass another piece of the pilot there? I'm hungry. Because if that's alive is when the plane crashes in the Andes Mountains and the soccer team has to eat Hitler to survive the cannibalism after the plane crashes. So they show Marge watching it, and she looks a little tense, Dad. No, she's fine. And it looks like she's, like, holding her knees and watching the TV with her eyes wide open. But then they cut to the side, and she's not even on the couch. She's just bent over in front of the couch, just standing on her heels. That's how tense she is. That's such a great episode. Yeah, Marge Simpson, fantastic mom and fantastic wife on that show. All right, we got a break. We got weather and we got traffic.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Yeah, man.
At Berlin cast a spell.
Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. David requested the Moody Blues, man. Are you sitting comfortably? Moody Blues, man. David, waking in bacon this morning? Is that what's going on? All right. Hey, coming up after the news, Esmeralda and I will give a head-to-head battle, another version of Celebrity Name Game. That'll be coming up right after the news. And we're wrapping stuff up here in terms of great wives and sitcom history and great couples. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. I got a bunch of texts coming in, so let's read a few of those. 847 area code. How about the beautiful Donna Reed from the Donna Reed Show? She also played Jimmy Stewart's wife in the classic It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, she did. Beautiful woman, Donna Reed. Yeah, 708 area code. I love Frank and Marie from Every Lady Loves Raymond. They're basically my parents. Yeah, Doris Roberts and Peter Boyle. They're funny. They were funny. Let's see. You also got to love Louise Jefferson. Wheezy. Got to love Wheezy. I used to love it when George's mother was on the show and would insult Wheezy, and Wheezy would just have to be patient and try not to just deal with her. Deal with Mother Jefferson, as they called her.
Now, my favorite's from Good Times. Oh, what's her
name? Esther Roll?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What's the character's name? Why am I blanking on the character's name?
She has kind of an odd name. I can't remember
it
right
It was
now.
Her name on... She was on Maude, too. Why am I blanking on... Well, Florida.
Oh, Maude.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Maude.
Maude rules. Yeah, that show was funny, man. Maude was funny. And, like, timely and in that Norman Lear topical kind of way. Really, really funny. And Adrian Barbeau. Va, 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 voom. Good Lord. 765 area code says June Cleaver and Julie Cotter. Well, you know, Mrs. Cotter, she had to put up with him telling all those damn jokes about his uncles. It's kind of like my mom. You remember every episode of Welcome Back, Cotter would open with him telling a joke to his wife, an uncle, like one of his uncles. Every single episode of Welcome Back, Cotter. Man, when I was 10 years old, I thought that was the greatest show ever. What a terrible show that is. Oh, man. That was the show. I remember I was watching that show, and I was laughing, and my dad was in the room with me, and he goes, what are you laughing at? We were watching Welcome Back, Cotter, and I don't know, somebody's like, up your nose with a rubber hose. And I'm like, ha, 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 falling off the couch. Look at Mr. Woodman. He's funny. And, oh, Horseshack's going, oh, 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 this is brilliant. And my dad's just sitting there going, listen, Sunday night, 10:30, we're going to turn on Channel 11. And you're going to watch what's on Channel 11 Sunday night at 10:30 because you shouldn't be watching this crap because this crap's not funny. And Sunday night's at 10:30. Was Monty Python. So my dad turned me on to Python. He couldn't handle me watching Welcome Back, Cotter. He's like, no, that's it. It's time for you to learn about Monty Python. And it changed the course of my comedy mind. When I saw Monty Python, first of all, there were boobs on Monty Python, which was awesome. When I saw Monty Python, you know, the first time, it blew my mind. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know a TV show could do that. The best. But my dad was just not having Welcome Back, Kotter. Just because, listen, we're gonna watch Python. Just turn this crap off. Let's see, 773. Would Candid Camera be considered the first practical joke show? Yes, absolutely, but they didn't do celebrities on that show. It was just regular everyday people. And yes, they would prank the Candid Camera. They would absolutely, that was the very first practical joke show on television. But they didn't. They never did celebrities. Adam says, Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World. You guys are going to have to help me out on that. Who's Topanga?
Just his girlfriend.
Oh. Corey is the boy who meets the world?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Who's the girl who meets the world now?
That's their daughter.
Oh, so it's a second generation world meeting. All right. Joe says, Rob and Laura from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Oh, Laura. Laura Petrie, the great Mary Tyler Moore. 847 area code, hands down, Helen Roper. Yeah. Yeah, the Ropers ruled.
Those moo-moos?
Oh.
Come on.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Harold says, the Honeymooners were the best. Yes, they were. Also, Laura Petrie, Lily Munster, and Morticia Adams. I always thought Lily Munster was sexy. And Morticia Adams. Let's see. 815, Susan St. James from McMillan and Wife. Mm. Wife in the title of the show. Flyjam Bob says, did you know that a third actor played Darren? Billy Mummy from Lost in Space when Samantha turned Dick into a kid. So Samantha turned Darren into a kid, and it was the dude from Lost in Space. Wow, that's a nice piece of trivia. I didn't know that. And then finally, Nick, for me, it all started with the hilarious Gracie Allen of Burns and Allen. Until the day he died, George Burns said she was the funniest person in the world and that he was just a straight man. And it's absolutely true. Gracie Allen was amazing. Gracie Allen was incredibly funny. She was great. One of a kind. All right, cool. All right, we got a break. The news is coming up next, and then a celebrity name game will be following that shortly.